Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
I'll ask of you that you be ready to pray for yourself. Amen. Are you ready to pray for yourself? Another request I'll make is that I'll ask of you to pray for somebody else. Amen. So are you ready to pray for somebody else? Amen. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. When you look at the book of Joshua, we can summarize it in three themes, three words. The possession of the promised land. From the time that we are hearing an encounter of God and Abraham, God already begins to outline his plan to take his people to the promised land. Amen. So from the book of Genesis, we begin to see his plan, that his intention is to take his people to the promised land. But in the book of Joshua, that promise is coming to pass. So number one theme is the possession of the promised land that we see in the book of Joshua. But another thing that I love is that through the book of Joshua, we begin to see God as a warrior. Amen. We begin to see him as a warrior. Not that before the other books that we couldn't see him, but in the book of Joshua, he's highlighted more and more. And what is more profound, it is that it is not the people of Israel who are fighting. It is God who is actually fighting the battles. It's like what he said in the book of Exodus, that the battle belongs to me. These Egyptians you see today, you no longer see them. But in the book of Joshua now, you begin to see him highlighting that I am the warrior. I am the one who fights your battles. Not the people, but God. Amen. And also, we see in the book of Joshua a highlight that Joshua becoming the new Moses. That after Moses is gone, actually when you read now, you see that now that my Savior Moses is gone, now God chooses another Moses. And he finds that in the life of Joshua and demonstrates whatever he's doing through this man. Amen. But we're not going to talk about the highlights today. We're just going to talk about something. So in the book of Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Amen. Already in verse number 1 of chapter 6, they are beginning to tell us something spectacular, that the city we are about to explore today, Jericho, was a secure city. It was a strong city. It was surrounded, well protected. But one thing that they are saying is that this city, although it was secure, as we'll be seeing in verse number 2, let's just read it. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king I have given to you, and the mighty men of Vera. So they're also telling us that the king and the men of Jericho were noble men. They were not easy men. Lest you think that the story that we're going to explore today is an easy story, that maybe the Israelites just walked over it and then things happened. The men of Jericho were respectable men. They knew what they were doing. If it came to battle, they would defend the city. Amen. And God is actually telling Joshua some special instructions, some specific things that are supposed to do. Remember, this is the same city that Joshua initially had sent some spies. You should remember this so that you should understand Jericho well. This is the same city that Joshua had sent, Moses had actually sent some people to actually spy. And the spies who went there were how many? How many spies? They were 12. They were not two. They were 12. So these 12 men went there and spied the city. And you remember the report that the 10 men gave that ended up frightening the people of Israel. The report is the one that actually made God to say, no longer entering this land. You're going to wander in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Because they had spied it for how many days? Now we see who read the Bible. So because of the report that came out of this city after the spies went in, people were frightened. And remember what they said. It looked like what? Grasshoppers in us. Those were the men. You say amen again. Now God is telling Joshua some specific instructions. Number three, you shall march around that city. All you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do how many days? 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. So God is telling Joshua that you have fought battles before, but this battle is different. You've got to align yourself to some specific instructions. For 6 days, you will march around this city only once. So like once a day, like a dosage. And the doctor tells you this medicine, you're taking it once. You should know that that medicine is more powerful. Not to undermine the ones you take 3 times a day, but this one you know. It can do things to you. And now he's telling him, for 6 days you march only once. And when you do, you go back. There's nothing else you can do. But you've got to have some priests that are 7 that will bear the trumpets of lamps before they are. And on the 7th day, you shall march around the city how many times? 7 times. And that's when the priests shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass on this number 5, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout and approach. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. 6. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of rams, horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed, march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Lord, the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, whilst the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So for these 6 days, they were only commanded to follow these specific instructions. No one is supposed to say a word. They are only people that are actually chosen. As we march around this once, you are not permitted to say any word until I tell you to do so. Sometimes it becomes hard among his brethren to follow some instructions. Amen. Say amen there. Don't be like the one who don't follow instructions. Sometimes it becomes hard for you to follow instructions when God says, let's do this. You begin to question, who is this who is saying you should do this? It is the Lord. Not man who is saying and speaking. So Joshua actually told them, until we permit you to do something. The priests are allowed to do this. Those that are carrying the ark, they are allowed to do this. For you, just march. It wasn't making sense. 6 days. Verse 13. Then the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. So they did for the 2nd day. They did for the 3rd. They did for the 4th. They did for the 5th. They did for the 6th. They kept on returning to the camp. You'd imagine what was going on in the mind of the Israelites. What kind of fighting is this? That today we can walk around and then go home. We can walk around and going home. And I would imagine that people would begin to think, Munasona kakala bola mosi. For most among Buddha, Mojijo, Tisbus, Motegira Bomb. But we're just walking around today and we're going back home. There's nothing we are doing. He's actually not permitting us to say a word. They did this for 6 days because it was an instruction from God. But it came to pass on the seventh day, on December 15th, that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Meaning, as they were marching, nobody uttered the word. Nobody said to his neighbor. Nobody actually spoke anything. They marched 7 days. Now imagine now they have been marching day one up to day number six. They are already tired. On this seventh day, maybe they were expecting we're going to march only once. But God says, march how many times? 7 times. And don't even say anything again. Amen. Some instructions that God gives us will not make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by hearing. We walk by faith. Amen. We walk by faith in Him. And we know that without faith that we cannot please Him. And then, still the seventh time, it happened when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, now shout. Shout like you have never shouted before. Amen. Shout as loud. You've been keeping this shout from day one. For the Lord has given you the city. Amen. For the Lord has given you the city. Remember what God had already taught Joshua, this word. 1 verse number 2. Joshua, I have already given you the city. This time now, it is Joshua now telling the people that the reason why you are shouting is because God has given you the city. It is not because I'm crazy. I know what I'm doing. Shout, because this city belongs to you. Now, the city shall be turned by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live. She and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Remember, this lady kept the spies. She's getting her reward. Whatever you do before the Lord sees it and He will reward you in due time. And you, by all means, abstain from accursed things, lest become accursed when you take of the accursed things. Now, what Joshua is doing now is that he's giving these people instructions. Because they've been marching for 6 days. Some of them are hungry. Some of them are looking forward to what is in the city. So they might... God wants to make sure everybody follows instructions. That once it happens, brethren, nobody goes in and takes anything here. Let's understand one another. We've been marching together. All of us haven't eaten. We've been marching 7 times today. But as we shout and God gives us this city, you shall continue to follow the instructions. Amen. So continue being disciplined, because this is what God is going to do. Everything in this city is ours. The silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze, iron are consecrated, but not to your family, but to the Lord. Lest you begin to say, go down and engage Dan. So it says it belongs to God. Sounds like bad news to somebody, but then it is to the glory of God. So the people shouted on verse number 20, and the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout. You would imagine they have been keeping this shout for 6 days. Now it is here. Like it's when you've been waiting for something and never said, now is the time. You show all your excitement. So they shouted on top of their voices. The wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city. Every man straight before him. And they took the city. And they utterly destroyed everything that was in it. And then he continues to speak about everything else there. I'll urge you to read up to verse number 27. So because I trust that you're going to read, I'll stop there. Amen. Can you say amen? So God instructs Joshua with an unusual strategy of war that we have never heard before for the battle of Jericho. They just crossed Jordan River just recently. They have seen what God can do. Amen. They are excited, but God is not allowing Joshua to use the same strategy that they crossed the Jordan River with. He's giving them special instructions. Special direction. God tells him to have his army march around the city once every day for 6 days, and that nobody is supposed to speak anything. While marching, the soldiers are actually playing the trumpets, as we saw, and the priests are actually carrying the Ark of Covenant. They are carrying the Ark of Covenant. It represented that God was with them. They kept on announcing around the city, as we march around the city, God is with us. And the armies are actually blowing trumpets. They are not using any weapon. Their weapon is this shout of praise to the Lord, that any man is silent. And verse 10, we have already seen that God is allowing his man to give them a specific command, that they will do this in a particular manner. But we see on the seventh day, they marched 7 times, still waiting for Joshua's instructions about what is going to happen. Amen. I've already said that some of us find it very hard for us to follow instructions. And I pray that the Lord will help us. Amen. Because without it, then we will not be able to advance. I'll be back to that story. Amen. Because that's it, the main part of our preaching and our praying today. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, you can quickly go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. What you will see there is something spectacular. That God, since the beginning of time, his intention was to be walking with man, to fellowship with man, to have an intimate relationship with man. That's why he created you and me. That's why he created Adam. Amen. So you see in verse number 8 in Genesis, and they heard, they who? Adam and Mrs. Adam. He's also called Eve. Amen. And they heard the sound of the Lord God doing what? Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So you see that there was a tendency of God coming down each day, every now and then, to walk in the garden, to fellowship with man, to have communion with man. And it's evident in that verse number 8. God is always looking for someone to be in a relationship with, that he can be walking together with, that he can commune together with, that he can fellowship together with. That's the intention of our Father. Amen. He created you and me for enjoyment of a walking relationship, that you walk with him, that you dine with him, that you can be together, you can be one with him, that you can commune with him, have intimacy with him, have a shared dominion. That's why he said, I am creating you in my image that you should dominate and have dominion over the earth. Amen. That's why you were created. You were not created to be doing everything else, just to have this relationship with you, that he can walk with you. Amen. That's the sole purpose of our existence, that we can walk with God. And he longs to walk with you. God seeks to have that unbroken communion with man. That's why from the beginning of time, when that plan was disrupted, he began to put in place a backup plan. We already had it, that Jesus would come to fellowship with us and to save us from our sin. Let's look at a man who understood this better. In the book of Genesis, go to chapter 5, verse 22 and verse number 24. Genesis chapter 5. We begin to see there our brother Enoch. Our brother Enoch there says Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for how many years? 300 years. And he had sons and daughters. So it doesn't mean because you have got children, then that's an excuse for you to not walk with God. In fact, even when you have children, that there are more reasons for you to walk with God. There are more petitions for you to bring to your father because they are your, amen. We just saw here a pastor dedicating babies. So Enoch walked with God even for 300 years. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God. It's repeated there. And he was not. Not that he died, but God took him. Now, this brother understood something, enjoyed something that our brother Adam couldn't enjoy, couldn't even understand. Amen. He found something that Adam didn't experience. He learned how to commune and walk with God to the extent that the levels of intimacy prompted God to say, this man I'm not allowed to live on earth. I'll come and take him myself. That's the level of how he walked with God. Amen. He continues to walk with the Lord for 300 years until the Lord said, no, I'll take him back. Our brother Noah, in the same Genesis chapter 6, you begin to hear there that in verse number 9, that he also walked with the Lord. Amen. Verse number 5 says, the Lord saw the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he grieved, he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Amen. What you see there is that there's something special that God had actually seen in the life of Noah, that Noah actually had found, that he lived and walked with God in a special way. Amen. He lived in a sinful world, but God could find someone who was still walking with him, living blameless in a sinful world. Noah, the world that he lived, made God to feel sorry for creating man. But still, although the world was sinful, there was still a man who could stand and God could say, but at least there's someone who is blameless in heart, who is upright, his intentions are pure before me, that I can use. If God would look down today, do you think he can speak that about you? To say you are blameless, to say you are pure, to say that your intentions are aligned with God. Say amen. It's a question we need to ponder about and think about. Amen. So, what we need to see today in our short time, I'm deliberately sharing the example of Enoch and the example of Noah. There are other men also we could have shared. And connecting it to the story of Joshua for a reason. Because for us to be effective in our walk with God, we need to have our hearts, our lives perfectly aligned with him to walk rightly before the Lord. Amen. To pray effectively, we must walk a righteous walk. We must be a righteous people. In the book of James chapter 5, verse number 16, you'll see something amazing there that actually speaks to what we are saying. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And it says the last part, that's the one that I'm looking for. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So for us to pray effectively, we need to be righteous. Amen. For us to have results, we need to be aligned with him. Righteous people walk with God. Just like Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Righteous people walk with God. And it is that righteousness that actually yields results in our walk with God. Are you walking with God? Are you faithful in your walk with God? Are you righteous in your intentions with God? Pastor Sunga usually warns us that God is not an ATM machine. You just easily go, type your PIN and cash out. But even if you want to cash out, you want to make sure that there's some money in there. Amen. That you've got an account somewhere. If you have an account with God, are you depositing righteousness in it? God desires to walk with you before he works through you. That's what had happened with Enoch. That when he walked with God, God would work with him. When Joshua walked with God, God could trust him with a strategy that never made sense. But Joshua would understand that whatever God is saying, it is going to work because it is coming from the Lord. We have a relationship together with one another. So your consistent walk with God will accelerate divine activities in your life. So if you're not seeing any divine activities in your life, the first thing you should check is your walk with God. Amen. Your walk with God is key to everything that happens in your life. How are you standing with Him? How are you walking with Jehovah? Now I know that the devil lies to you and me, sometimes whispering, because anyway, he's the father of lies, according to John. But the Amen, according to the preaching also that we had last Sunday, and if you want to understand this better, go to the podcast or listen in again. That God would use even people that are sinful, people that haven't walked rightly, as long as they decide to fix things with Him. Jacob, although he was a thief, he stole blessings. So somebody who steals is a thief or a thief. Jacob learned to walk with God and pursued Him despite his background, because he knew that if I don't walk and fix my relationship with God, there's nothing that is going to actualize in my life. Pastor last Sunday also shared about our brother David, who had so many flaws, but still he pursued God despite his lies, despite his adultery, despite committing murder. But God will still call him what? The apple of his eye. You have already forgotten. So David, despite his flaws and his shortcomings, made a realization that it is the walk that I have with this God that will actually yield results. Who would think that Peter's denial would actually push him to be the one that would actually spread our Christian faith? Just because Peter denied Jesus 3 times, that never stopped him from walking with God. What's your excuse in your walk with Christ? Paul had a very awful and a very horrible history with God. He actually tells us that he was a chief sinner, persecuting and killing believers. But he's the one we actually quote his scriptures the most, because he realized the walk with God. If we go to Joshua chapter 6, the one we have read, we are seeing that the people marched for how many days? 7 days. Thank you, Pastor. I was actually waiting to see if you get it right. Everybody says 6. Only Pastor is the leader of Pastor. Amen. The people marched for 7 days, but they shouted for how many days? Yeah, there you should answer me. The people walked and marched around the city for 7 days, but they shouted for how many times? Only once. Now, the problem that we have as today's Christians is that we want to shout 7 times and maybe walk with God for only one day. Say amen. We don't mind about our walk and our relationship with God. We only want to see the results. We only want to see Him coming through for us. We only want to see Him blessing us. We don't mind to invest our relationship with Him. And Jesus is actually giving a warning that not anybody who calls me Lord, Lord shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you need to cultivate your relationship with Him. There was a particular reason why God had taught them to walk for 6 days and also walk 7 times on the 7th day, but only shout once. Amen. We want to shout for 7 days. We want to shout I receive for 7 days. Every now and then, we want to tap from Him, but we don't want to be serious with God. We don't want to have a relationship with Him. We don't want to walk with Him. We don't want to walk with righteousness with Him. are only mindful about what God can give us, about what God can do. So we are going to do everything possible to get that job because we want to shout. And we're busy making noise for 7 days, but we don't mind about our relationship with Him. We don't mind about our walk with Christ. Amen. It is the walk with Christ. It is the walk with God that empowers your shout for the miracle that you're looking for. It is your relationship. It is your walk with Jesus that empowers your shout. Even if you shout for half a day, even if you shout just for a day, as long as you have walked with the Son of God, your shout is empowered. Your shout has got power because power belongs to Him you are walking with. Paul says all power belongs to Him. All glory to Him. Majesty to Him. Kingdom to Him. So pay attention to your walk. Don't mind about the noise. Don't mind about the shout. Let them shout 7 days. Wait for your 7th day for you to shout. Because God said nobody speaks anything until He allows him to do so. You're shouting glory, glory. Who has told you to do so? You're shouting, I receive and I receive. What are you receiving and who has told you to shout? Have you walked with God? Have you invested your integrity, your righteousness with God? Enoch understood this. He walked with God in a sinful world. Brother Noah walked with God. Job, God would actually challenge the devil. There's no other man. The whole earth apart from Job. Because he walked with him. He never minded what was happening around him. He knew, although it was a narrow path, there was also a preaching about that. You can also go to the podcast. It's like a marketing podcast today. And listen better there. You know that it is hard in this world. It is a narrow path. Not because everybody is going in that path. Not because everybody is shouting in that path. That you should also shout. Few are the ones that are walking in this narrow path. You know the reason why we don't want to walk with God, but mind more so much about our shouting? It is because this walking with God demands a lot from us. It is not easy. Amen. It is not easy. It is not actually the shout that brought the walls of Jericho down. It is because they listened to the instruction of God. They walked with Him. Every day they just walked and went to sit down. For the 6th time, for the 7th time, they just walked and went to sit down. Your shout has no power. Today I want to announce to you that your shout is meaningless. It has no power unless you walk with Him. Unless you walk with God. No wonder these days miracles are rare because few are the ones who are walking with God. Everybody is shouting, but not everybody who's walking with God. So if you're not seeing any divine activities, if you're not seeing divine progress in your life, check your walk with God. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your husband or wife. Check your walk with God. Amen, somebody. Mind so much about your walk with God than anything else you can worry about. Don't worry about your reputation. People always speak. They are people after all. Your walk with God. Your walk with God. Are you walking with God sincerely? Now, even in your imperfections, walk with God. Where else are you going to go if you run away from God? Because you are a sinner. Because you lied. David also lied. But still pursued God. So even in your imperfections, what you should do is work hard and walk with who? With God. And have a relationship with Him. It doesn't matter. God can use anyone. As long as they are walking with Him. So, please start getting your steps aligned with God. Because He minds a lot about your steps with Him. He minds a lot about your walk, your relationship with Him. He says, seek me first, and all these things will be added to you. But we have done it upside down. We are looking for those things.
the things that God says he will add, we are actually sweating to get them, when we are supposed to sweat to walk with him. Amen. That's the reason why we are not seeing God around us. We are not walking with God sincerely. We should check ourselves. If we fix our walk with him, brethren, I want to challenge you that we are going to see God. Say amen. Why are you doubting? You don't want to walk with God. Amos 3, verse 3, the verse you memorized. Says what? Can two. Can you walk with God unless you agree? So there have also got to be an agreement. You cannot just be following him without having an agreement with him. You have got to receive his son as your personal Lord and Savior. He's got to know you. Because in Matthew 7, it says 21 to 23, some people are going to come and claim that we did this, we did that. But Jesus is going to say, no. Actually, we should read that verse. Yeah, I think we should read that verse. Matthew 7. Verse. Sometimes when you speak these things, people think you are making them up. So let's read scripture. Verse 7, verse 21, quickly before we pray. Not anyone, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done this? Have we not gone to church? Have we not healed the sick? Have we not casted demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And some of us haven't even done any wonders, though. But these ones are saying, have we not done wonders in your name? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, who practice lawlessness. In other versions, says, you doers of iniquity. Now, this is dangerous that you have lived with everybody here, and everybody has thought that you've been a brother, you've been walking with the Lord, but when you come before him and he says, I never knew you. How come? We used your name to cast out demons. They never walked with him. He never knew them because they never had a relationship with God. Amen. Unless you are in him and him in you, you will not bear any fruit. Amen. So we can't agree with God unless we walk with him. Everybody don't want to trade and walk with God in the narrow path because it's hard. Be a lonely walk, but as long as you're walking with Jesus, keep on walking your path. It can be unpopular. At your workplace, everybody can be forging receipts and signatures just to get it. But as long as you're walking with God, you know what you're supposed to do. Like Noah, you live in a very sinful world, but you are going to walk with God. Amen. No wonder we've got many who say they are walking with God, but they don't want to commit to this God. They don't want to pray. They don't want to commit to prayer. They don't want to cultivate a relationship with him. It is easy to say on the lips than to do it. That's what Jesus is urging us to do. So if you hear about the walls of Jericho falling down, it is not because of the shout. It was because of their walk with God. Simple message this morning is that our walk with God empowers our shouts. Our walk with God empowers the falling down of the walls will happen only when you walk with God. Amen. So the fellowship with God, get intimate with him. Some people are so afraid that if they walk with God, God is going to disturb their career. He's going to disturb their life. They don't want to be called pastor. They don't want to be called minister or woman of God. They know everybody will be saying this or that. I want to tell you that God, when he created you, like we read in the book of Genesis, he wanted to have a relationship with you so that he can use you in ways he desires. When God is using people, it is not because some people are vision. God can use you in so many ways. So find ways where God can use you, the talents you have. We have been preaching on this pulpit several times. But understand what God has deposited in you and stop getting afraid because you were created to be like God, to relate with him and to have an impact in his world. Amen.
I want us to pray. I know there's so many things I prepared to say, but this is enough for you to understand. Your walk with God empowers your shout. And as you shout, walls will fall down, not because you shouted, but because of the relationship you have with Him. Because He says, many are the, even if you are faced with so many troubles, He who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Imagine walking with Him, empowering you to do the impossible. When God says, what I'm about to do in your life, no eye has seen. He's speaking to those who are walking with Him. If God says, I already prepared good works for you, that verse, brother, sister, is for those who are walking with Him. Today we should make it straight. We should set the record straight. It's not for everybody. Those only who are walking with Him. He's the one who says, I know the plans I have for you. The ones you are walking with God. Plans to give you a future. The ones that are walking with God. Sincerely, even when people are not seeing, the ones that are walking with God. Even when people are doing everything else, are you walking with God? Hallelujah. So mind more about your walk with Christ. Don't mind about anything else. Every other noise is nothing. As a sinking sand, every other foundation. I can also use that one there. Every other thing that is happening around you, don't mind it. As long as you're walking in this narrow path, it's going to get harder, yes. But as long as you're walking with Him, He's going to give you grace. He's going to give you mercy. He says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, says, let us come. Let us come. And as we're coming, we should come what? Boldly. Because it's not easy. So that we can obtain mercy and grace in time of what? Of need. For those who are what? Walking with God. Only those who are walking with God. You are looking for results. Pause. Walk with God first. But this is just setting the record straight. Only walk with God. Then you can shout. But if you are shouting, we wish you well. Keep on shouting. But be ready not to see anything. Be ready that those walls of Jericho are not going to fall down. So if you've been praying and waiting for God to come through for you, and things are not happening, check your walk with God first. Check your walk. Let us stand. I think this is enough. Yeah, it's enough to charge you now.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.